again, because I preach this sermon. This is going to be a lot different today than the sermon I preached last time. Not a lot different, but definitely different, on December 11th, 2016. So you can go in the archives of the church website there, and the messages, let's just click on messages, and then you can scroll down and you can see the message from that says Putting God First. And it's the same message title. I don't know how Dave's going to work it this time. He's going to have to say Putting God First, you know, 2023 or something like that, because otherwise it'll get confused on which message is which. So you'll be able to take listen to the old message and then and compare it to what I'm how I do today. So hopefully I'm getting better, but we'll see. So the first thing we want to do, though, is pray. So please pray with me. Lord, we just thank you for this time that we can gather together. Lord, there's a lot of places in this world that cannot, a lot of churches, a lot of Christians that cannot meet like this and worship you and sing about you and learn about you. And so we count it a privilege to be able to be here. Lord, we count it a privilege that we can communicate and we can speak and people can understand us in languages that we can understand. And today happens to be English. And so we thank you, Lord. We know that there's a lot of people, especially in Guatemala, a lot of deaf people that will never, ever hear your word or even see it preached in sign language. So, Lord, help us to understand what the message is today. It's a wonderful message from Haggai, and we just thank you for it, Lord. Help me out that I could speak clearly and make your word understood among the people. Holy Spirit, come and open up hearts today in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's see. Now it's not working. Oh, no, let's go back. Okay, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. This is our New Testament verse for our Old Testament story. So I'm the kind of guy I love the Old Testament, and there's always somehow that it relates to the New Testament. And there's actually, I could list several places in the New Testament that this scripture relates to, but for right now, we're going to go with Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Okay, so we have Haggai. Now, we say Haggai, but it's really Haggai, but we don't want to do that, so because we're not Jewish, and so we're going to just say Haggai or Haggai. So I'll either say one or the other. Now, it's interesting that his name means my holidays. And it's interesting that the last time I preached on this was at Christmas time, and now we're right in the middle of Christmas and New Year's. So how apropos that we talk on Haggai, and his name means my holidays. So, all right. So let me give you a little history before we get into what the book is. So in 587 BC, Jerusalem is destroyed and the children of Israel are taken captive by King Nebuchadnezzar and they go off to Babylon. Okay, so that's where we are in 587 BC. Now remember, now here's some pictures. I'm a very visual learner, okay? And when I teach the deaf down in Guatemala, I try to add as many pictures. So I just like to add pictures for people to help us understand a little bit more. So here's the people taken off, being led off into captivity. Okay, then in 539 BC, Persia conquers Babylon. Now you got to remember that we're before Christ. Okay, so before Christ, the larger the number, the further away from Christ we get. So if you guys look at a timeline, here we are at 2023, almost 2024. We have zero, the cross. Here's the cross right here, and that's zero. That's Jesus' birth. 33 years later, he died. And then it goes, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and all the way that way to and then to, in this case, to 539 BC, Persia conquers Babylon. Now, in 536 BC, actually Zerubbabel took, now some people say 50,000, some people say, it depends on what website you go to, but it's around 40 to 50,000 Jews returned to Jerusalem. They rebuilt the altar and they began offering sacrifices again there in Jerusalem. After 2 years, they began laying the foundations for a new temple. And I like these workers here, because I like working with my hands. But they had a lot of problems with their Samaritan neighbors, and the work stopped. 14 years later, here we are at Haggai chapter 1, verses 1 through 15. Now, last time I preached on basically just Haggai chapter 1, and this time I'm actually preaching over the whole thing. So I've kind of condensed a little bit the chapter 1 and so that I could have time to expound a little bit more on chapter 2. So I'm going to be reading the all of chapter 1. So it says, in the second year of King Darius, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be rebuilt. Then the word of the Lord came to Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put them in a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. This is the second time. Consider your ways. Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, but indeed it came to little, and when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, says the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house. Therefore the heavens above you withhold the dew, and the earth withholds its fruit. For I called for a drought on the land, and the mountains, and the grain, and the new wine, and the oil, on whatever the ground brings forth, on men and livestock, and all the labor of your hands. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people feared the presence of the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message to the people, saying, I am with you, says the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people, and they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of King Darius. Okay, God speaks to Haggai, all right? So now this is an interesting, Haggai's a minor prophet, all right? And actually, there's going to be a lot more said about Zerubbabel and stuff in Zechariah and Malachi, which Pastor will be speaking on in the next 2 weeks. But I've divided Haggai down into four parts. And the first part is chapter 1, and it's God motivates the people is what I've called it, okay? So here we have it in Haggai 1:2. Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says that time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be rebuilt. So they had opposition from their Samaritan neighbors, and they stopped building, and then they built for themselves really nice houses. Now, in Haggai 1:4 says, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? I listened to the sermon 7 years ago the other day, and I don't know, were you just moving into your house at that time, or? 16, yeah. So he was building a house. It happens to be a paneled house. Did you know that? So I was teasing Mike about living in his paneled house, but we know what kind of man Mike is, so we don't have to worry about him neglecting. And gosh, he lives so close. How wonderful can that be? But he's saying, you know, you live in your paneled houses, and this temple is in ruins. So they basically neglected. They were living in their nice houses, and they neglected the work of the Lord. And so the temple stood in ruins. Okay, now this was Solomon's temple that was in ruins, all right? And then God says in Haggai 1:5, God says, consider your ways. Now he says this twice, and then he actually uses the word consider three more times in the scripture. One other time, the exact phrasing, consider your ways. So this is kind of pondering, consider your ways. Now, that could mean, it really means, according to Young's literal translation, set your heart to your ways. So, consider is probably not a good word to use here. King James happens, many of the translations happen to use it. So, but think about it this way. I remember as a little boy, my mom is right back here saying, hi, Mom. So, and if my mom were to say, Greg, I want you to go clean your room. And if I would have said, you know, let me consider that. Okay, what would have happened? I mean, I can still feel it right here. You know? I mean, it would not have turned out really well for me. Okay? So I think that God is really saying, set your heart to your ways, okay? It's not just a pondering. No, there's action behind it, okay? So in Haggai 1:6, he says, you have sown much and you bring in little. So now this is way more than what a average Guatemalan family could sow, but you sow all this and you just reap just a little. You eat and you do not have enough, the big turkey dinner, but you're still hungry. Oh, come on now. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. Whoops. So Coca-Cola, you know, if there was a national drink of Guatemala, it would be Coca-Cola, all right? Everybody drinks Coca-Cola in Guatemala. So, but you drink and you're not satisfied. You clothe yourselves, but you're not warm. Here's somebody with a jacket, and then they're still freezing. And then he who earns wages, lots of money, but your wages are like putting it into a bag with holes in it. So this is what God is saying. Here's a bag with, you know, holes in it. How many of you ever feel that way? Have you ever feel like, gosh, I'm working, and I'm putting, you know, and it's just I can't get ahead, you know? And there was a friend of mine that lived just down the street from us here in Twin Peaks. And he used to say, you know, Greg, when a job came in, or and I made a lot of money, he would say, then I always look for a bill in the mail, because it was like, I got all this money. It was like, okay, what am I going to do with it? And sure as shooting, there would be a bill would come in the next day, and oh, well, thank God I have the money for the bill, but you know, he couldn't do what he wanted to do with the money, and that's what he's talking about here. And again, God says, consider your ways, or, you know, set your heart on your ways. So then he says, go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple, that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified. God asks, why do you have all these problems? Because my house is in ruins. So the people obeyed the voice of their God and the words of Haggai the prophet. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message to the people, saying, I am with you, says the Lord. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a... Oh, okay, so let's back up. So then he says, I am with you. Now, when I thought of this, you know, God is saying, I am with you. What is what does Emmanuel mean? God with us. So he's saying that in this in Isaiah the prophet. He says, God is with us. So the Lord stirred up or awakened the spirit of the people, and they went and worked on the house of the Lord, their God. So I have broken down, like I said, four parts. That was part one. And now part two is losing vision and hope. So here the people are working on the temple. Okay, they've been working now for, I think, 30 days, all right, 1 month. And the Lord speaks again, and he says, who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now? In comparison with it, is this not in your eyes as nothing? So the people were complaining. They were saying, oh my goodness, you know, we're working here, but we're never going to make it the same as it was before. So they were getting discouraged, all right? But again, the Lord comes back and says, yet now be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord, and be strong, Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all you people of the land, says the Lord, and work, for I am with you, says the Lord. And then he says, now he's giving them a little glimpse of the future, okay? And he says, the glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former. So he's talking about the temple that is to come, not the temple that they're going to be building. Okay, he's not talking about that temple. He's talking about in the future, basically at the end of Revelation. We'll go over that in a minute. But the glory of this temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place, I will give peace, says the Lord. Has there been peace in Israel? I mean, is there peace in Israel right now? No, we're not talking about now. We're talking about the future. This is a sign for future in Guatemalan sign language. It's the future he's talking about, all right? So this is really, it's fascinating to me because Haggai is talking to the people, and we'll see even more of this in a little bit here, but he's talking about the future, and it's very, very prophetic. It's very cool. So now the third part is, I've called it covenant faithfulness. Then he says, now ask the priests concerning the law. So now he's going back to Leviticus, and he's going over the law with them. And he says, now ask the priests concerning the law, saying, if one carries holy meat in the fold of his garment, and the edge of his garment touches bread or stew or wine or oil or any food, will it become holy? And the priest answered and said, no, this is right out of Leviticus. And then Haggai says, if one who is unclean because of a dead body touches any of these, will it be unclean? So the priest answered and said, yes, it will become unclean. So, and we're going to get in a little bit more of that, but he's talking about their hearts. He's talking about, you know, your attitude of your heart and where you are when you're working for the Lord. If you're working, you know, begrudgingly or with an impure thoughts or an impure heart, then that's going to affect the temple. And we'll get more into that in a second here. But the fourth is the future hope. And this is Haggai, it's 20 through 23. He says, I will shake heaven and earth. I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms. This is end times right here. This is end times. I will destroy the strength of the Gentile kingdoms. I will overthrow the chariots and those who ride in them. The horses and the riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. In that day, this is the last verse of Haggai. In that day, says the Lord of hosts, I will take you, Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, says the Lord, and I will make you a signet ring, for I have chosen you. I will make you like a signet ring, for I have chosen you, says the Lord of hosts. Now, this is interesting because there's a double meaning here, okay? So, first of all, who is Zerubbabel? Zerubbabel is the grandson of Jeconiah. He's the grandson of Jeconiah, who was carried away captive to Babylon. All right, he was the king of Judah, and he was in the line of David. And so Zerubbabel is in the line of David. We're supposed to have a king residing over us from the line of David. And who is that king? Jesus. All right? So now, when he says, my servant, anytime or most of the time in the scriptures, when he talks about my servant, and he's even got it capitalized here, my servant, it's what they call a messianic reference. Okay, so it's referring to Jesus. So Zerubbabel is a grandson. He's in the line of David, and Jesus was of the line of David. This is a messianic reference. Okay, my servant. And then he says, and I will make you a signet ring. I will make you like a signet ring. A signet ring was a ring that the royalty or somebody of importance, somebody of ownership, it showed ownership, and you would put your ring into the wax or into the seal, into the clay or whatever it was, and that would be your seal. So he's saying that I will make you like a signet ring. You will be important. And then it says, for I have chosen you, says the Lord of hosts. Jesus is the chosen one. All right. So there's four references right here, kind of like double meanings, all right, between Zerubbabel and Jesus. All right. So conclusion for the four parts of Haggai. Number one, okay, remember it was God motivates the people. So in verse 13 of chapter 1, it says that the people obey the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet. Now, it's really interesting to me that it goes in this order, okay? The people obeyed, then the Lord said, I am with you, then the Lord stirred up the spirit of the people. Now, shouldn't it be the other way around? Shouldn't it be that the Lord stirred up the spirit of the people, and then the Lord said, I am with you, and then the Lord obeyed, and then the people obeyed the voice of the Lord? But no, this is reversed. So that's what's so significant about Haggai, this book in the Bible, is that normally speaking, in the Bible, you have all these prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, I mean, you got all these prophets, and they're prophesying about the things that are going to happen, and the people don't change. For the most part, the people don't change. In this particular case, this is interesting because in this story, Haggai gives the word of the Lord to the people and they obey. Right off the bat, they obey. That same day, they obey. And then the Lord says, I am with you. And then the Lord stirred up the spirit of the people. So from this, we conclude that obedience brings blessings. All right, number two was the loss of vision and hope. So in chapter 2, verse 4, the Lord says, be strong, all you people of the land, and work, for I am with you. So God encourages us, and then he says that the glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former. So remember I told you that we're not talking about the temple that they were building. We're actually talking about the temple in the future. Okay, at the end of Revelation, and in this place I will give peace. When are we looking for peace? Do we have peace in the world right now? I mean, do we have peace in the Ukraine? Do we have peace in Israel? I would say no. So, but because Jesus is coming again, and he will be the new temple in a new Jerusalem. So he's encouraging the people, or the Lord through Haggai is encouraging the people, saying, look, the glory of this latter temple, you know, don't worry about what it looks like. Don't worry about how you're thinking it is, because you guys are missing the point. Okay. The point is that you need to obey. You need to do what you're told. Build this temple. Don't worry about your houses. Build the temple. Okay. And he says, and in this place, I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts, because Jesus is coming again and he will be the new temple in a new Jerusalem. Revelation 21:22 says, okay, now let's back it up just a little bit. Okay. In the verses before 22, that's where we get You know, the 12 gates of the New Jerusalem are going to be pearls, and the streets are going to be pure gold, as pure gold as transparent glass, the scripture says, okay? And we know those verses, and we can think, man, heaven is going to be beautiful. And he talks about the sapphire and the onyx and the beryl and all of these stones and everything. But then he says in Revelation 21:22, but I saw no, and this is John saying this, okay, on the island of Patmos. He says, but I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. So we're not to be looking at the people that Haggai was speaking to. They weren't to look at this temple that they were, that was the temple that they were going to be worshiping in, okay? And God was trying to teach them something, and yet, at the same time, no, this is what we have to look forward to. We have Jesus coming and setting up his kingdom in a new Jerusalem, and we won't need a temple. We won't need, you know, this here, you know. We won't need this. None of this we'll need because God himself and Jesus the Son will be the temple in the New Jerusalem. They will be the temple. And then it goes on to say, and there won't be any lights. There won't be any sun or moon. We won't need any of that because the glory of the Lord will be the light in the temple. That's what we have to look forward to. That's what he was telling the people, that Haggai was telling the people. Don't be discouraged in looking around at what you're doing. But, you know, you need to be obeying and you need to be moving forward. All right, then the fourth part. No, this is the third part, excuse me. So this, it says chapter 2, verse 14, the Lord reminds the people about the law in Leviticus and about being unclean. And then he says, you need to be careful because if we do God's work with apathy, it's like working with unclean hands, and whatever we do will be impure, including the new temple. So yes, we're building the new this temple, but if we're doing it because we just have to do it, if we're coming to church because, oh, we just have to come to church. I mean, it's Sunday. I guess we'll just have to come to church. And, oh, yeah, I guess we're just going to have to do this because Pastor Mike is expecting us to be there. And, oh, I you know, no, this is, God is saying, no, if your heart is not in the right spot, then anything you go to touch is going to be unclean. This is what he's telling the people. And number four, which is the last, there's only two chapters in Haggai, the last verse, 23, the Lord brings us back to the future hope of Jesus, the Messiah, and the hope of his return. So he's speaking in two ways. He's speaking of the current there when he's talking about Zerubbabel, but he's also talking about in the future when Jesus comes and sets up the new Jerusalem. And he will be the temple, and God will be the temple, and the glory of the Lord will be the light that everybody will be able to see by. And then, here it is right here. So we have Zerubbabel. This is in the line of David. So is Jesus. We have my servant, messianic reference, which is Zerubbabel and Jesus. Then we have make you a signet ring, and Jesus was given power and authority. And then he says, for I have chosen you, says the Lord of hosts, and Jesus is considered the chosen one in the scripture. All right. Now let's get back to the first verse, tying it into the New Testament. Therefore, do not worry, saying, well, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So I think that this is a message that God gave gave Haggai about the Zerubbabel and Joshua and the people to get them motivated, to get them going. And I think that sometimes we need that same motivation. Come on, we got to get going, guys. Okay? So thank you very much. Let's pray that that was I really enjoyed that. So that I you know, to just to go back and to see, and then to see it tie in with Revelations is, I don't know, that just really blesses me. So, and I hope it did you too. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time that Pastor Mike allowed me to share from your word. Thank you, Lord, for just opening it up to us and just allowing us to learn and to see, Lord, that yes, what we've got around here is won't even compare to the glory that you've got for us in heaven and the temple and with us being with you forever and ever, Lord, it's just going to be absolutely fantastic. So we thank you, Lord. Please come soon, please. Help Israel out and bring them peace. I know you will bring peace in the latter days, in the end time, but we could surely use a little peace right now too for different places in the world right now. So Lord, help us out. Help us with this new year. Help us to be able to make some of these New Year's resolutions that really we want to put you first in our lives, Lord. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, Amen.